Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. I've got a great one for you again today. I love people that help people. And I want to introduce Carrie McCarthy. Carrie, welcome to the show. So great to see you.
So great to see you, Howard. Thanks for having me.
I love the Indian motif. We're going to get into that. I see a pillow behind you and a blanket. We're going to get into all of that. But I need to tell you about Carrie. We met only recently. Maybe a few months ago, whatever, but we connected and I just want to tell you her story. And I want to share this with the world and my audience. So Carrie McCarthy, she is so credentialed. She has lots of little letters after her name, M-A, A-T-R, L-P-C-C, and you're the founder and CEO of Startup Art Therapy to Rewire Your Brain. And you were voted the top art therapist of the year for 2024. Congratulations on that. You've been featured on major networks on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. I guess that's all of them. NPR, Brains Magazine, Who's Who in America. Wow, a lot of awards. Carrie is an author, presenter, speaker, researcher, and you're prominent in the art therapy since 2001. So you've been doing this a while. You are a registered art therapist with the Art Therapy Credentials Board, the ATC. Is it B? Yep. And a licensed professional clinical counselor. You have co-authored the Neurodevelopmental Art Therapy Pioneer with Pioneer Linda Chapman. I guess she's big in this world. I looked her up. And then you have a school-based arts curriculum for Native American youth and all cultures. And then it says here that it's called Interventions for Development and Learning for Facilitators Manual that you actually published in 2017. Just finishing up, you are a recognized trauma expert specializing in child and adolescent trauma and Native American historical trauma. Wow. And we're going to talk about that too. And you are trained in using the Red Road approach to healing. We're going to talk about that with the Lakota and Dakota tribes. You are fluent in Spanish, and your mission is to help rebuild the First Nations people, which is amazing. The indigenous people. Carrie believes that healing should be accessible to all and people of all ages and all cultures. Please join her in this movement to heal the people and heal the planet. I love that. Oh my goodness. Well, let's actually tell me that's a great intro, but tell me something maybe we don't know about you, or maybe a little secret you want to share.
Well, Howard, when life gives you lemons, learn to boogie board.
Do you know how to do that?
I do. I am a beach bum. So that's something that people don't know about me. But any chance I get, ever since I was born and raised in California, and ever since I moved back here a few years ago, I took up boogie boarding when things fell apart and, you know, during COVID, and ended up at the beach on the waves.
I want to share with you, I know how to boogie board, and I've done it. My college roommate had a boat and lived on the ocean outside of Boston, a place called Duxbury, Mass. And in college, I learned how to boogie board. I learned how to windsurf, too. I just don't do it enough.
Awesome. Well, we got a boogie boarding date.
Right. Hang loose, right? We got to do that. You got the Hawaii hang loose. All right. Well, let's dive into this, because we got a lot to talk about today. And so the first thing, I'd love to share a little bit about your life and a little background on kind of how you became who you are today. So take us back a little ways there.
Okay. So, well, I was born into a very interesting dysfunctional family with a borderline personality disordered mother who became a severe alcoholic and an autistic father. So I was pretty much a latchkey kid growing up, and there was a lot of sexual abuse outside the home. Physical abuse that culminated with my mother and me in the hospital, and the police coming and taking me and my brother away, and having to go live with my family, my father and my brother. So there was a lot of sudden disruption and a lot of trauma going on in my world. And as a result, I got great grades. School was my sanctuary. I was on the honor roll every year, you know. And, but that, you know, I ended up living on the streets. You know, my dad kicked me out when I was 15. And with the trauma, even though I was presenting happily and doing well in school, it was like there was so much anxiety and suffering and depression and shame and guilt and all of those things that were happening internally that nobody saw. So when my father kicked me out on the streets, it just exacerbated that already existing abandonment trauma and all the other traumas that had happened. And I just ended up, you know, being part of the punk rock scene in the 1980s. And that was like a familial bond with other misfit kids, and ended up doing a lot of drugs and going to a lot of punk rock music shows, and became a young single mom at the age of 22. But I always had this urge to survive and to create and to make something of myself. So I ended up putting myself through school and really made something of myself and turned that trauma around. And I became, I started majoring in art and then did a double major in art therapy or psychology as my undergrad. And I started noticing how the art was really transformative in my life. But just being an art student was not the thing that was going to get me to where I wanted to be. There was something more just than doing art. And so art and psychology and the marriage of that was really important. So that's when I became an art therapist and went into a 3-year graduate program in art therapy.
But you did a lot. I just want to just center on it for a second because it's an important thing. You're a survivor. I mean, you came through a lot. Abuse, abandonment, neglect. You got into your family and your basically your safe zone was school, and you excelled there. But you found a crew of punk rocks. Not saying that they're bad or good, but you know they tended to get a little bit into drug use, and you became a very young mom very quickly. And were you a single mom at that time?
Yes, I was a single mother and remained so throughout the whole 18 years of raising my daughter.
Wow.
Because as a result of childhood trauma, you know, you and not being seen by your own family and getting that nurturing and guidance that a child needs to form and to establish healthy relationships and healthy boundaries, I was picking not good partners for myself that were very narcissistic. And I had developed a really interesting case of codependence. So really interesting having blurry boundaries between where I started and the other, you know, ended where there was that separation. So it's
now, did you actually, were you conscious of trying to break the cycle with your own daughter?
Yes, absolutely.
I would think that so.
Yeah. She's got a much better foundation than I had.
Okay. So then, I mean, art therapy became your new schooling, your new place where you just excelled, and also the clinical part of it as well. And so then you started to give back, right? The next step after that, let's go there.
Yeah. So part of, you know, my own journey being healed from art therapy and going through graduate school and finding that a lot of these trauma symptoms actually dissipated for me. At that time, I was seeking to heal myself as well. So I was going out to Native American reservations and doing ceremonies with them. This is, you know, over 20 years ago. And I started feeling just so much more, you know, who I'm meant to be on purpose. And I decided when, you know, there was a certain time in my life when my daughter was raised that I was going to create a nonprofit and go back to the reservations and live there in the Great Plains region in South Dakota. And I did. In 2014, I founded a nonprofit called Indigenous Healing Arts Alliance. So I went to the reservations. I lived on a small little reservation in Northeast Nebraska first. And that was a really, I had friends there and connections, and I was able to actually work as a tribal historical preservation monitor with their tribal historical preservation office while I developed this whole program. So I got to go and monitor different archaeological sites for cultural properties. And I was trained in doing that, which was fascinating. But I was really focused on healing Native American trauma. So I was developing this program based on neurodevelopmental art therapy trauma treatment developed by Linda Chapman, who is a renowned art therapist, as you mentioned in my bio. And she has since retired, given neurodevelopmental art therapy to me, and I've become the successor of that and built it out to have more neuroscience and more cultural competence. And we'll get into that piece in a moment. But living on the reservations was so super and incredible and depressing and sad, but just seeing such a beautiful people and seeing all of the traditions kept alive all these years and seeing the fabric of a society, the communal living and the way that they would get together and honor certain people and have these big feeds and ceremonies for people. And it was, and I ended up marrying into the Lakota tribe and was with a traditional dancer and well-renowned artist and from the Lakota tribe for many years, and worked with Indian Health Services on Pine Ridge Reservation. So I actually ended up moving to Pine Ridge Reservation and the Black Hills of South Dakota eventually. So, my whole life was going to powwows every weekend and going to Native art shows and ceremony, Sundance ceremony, Uwipi ceremony, Lewampi ceremonies, and Sundance. And of course, Lodge.
This is just so interesting. I have to tell you, I've probably not been on a big Indian reservation ever, but you sort of got, as a white woman, learned a culture, was accepted into their community, but I mean, I know they have their own language, but you learn their ceremony, right? You took that all very, very seriously. Is that how you got indoctrinated and welcomed into their community, by showing that your true heart was there for the betterment of them? And I mean, it's very interesting. You kind of showed up right at first, but then got introduced into the community. It's just amazing that you've dedicated a big majority of your life to doing that. And had great intention, but they didn't know you at first, right?
Well, I had had some inroads for the past 20 years. So yes, and getting, being introduced to different people and just being involved. But they see your heart, and they, many see who your energy field. And I do have Native blood from Ohio tribes on my mom's side. So going back, but if you are a white person and you don't know your oral history and you don't know what your grandfather or great-grandfather's name was, you don't really go around saying you're Native, right? So that's kind of frowned upon in Native and Indian country. It's called Indian country. So that's not a racist thing, just so people know. But yeah, being part of these ceremonies, being accepted in without culturally appropriating anything. And I have actually gone through a process to be initiated to pour water in sweat lodges, and I do hold that for my community. That's not something that it's not for sale. It's not something that I make money on.
So I want to just relate something to you. So I just spoke on a cruise ship, and there was indigenous chief or Indian medicine person there, and I partook of my first water ceremony. It was very enlightening to me. It never happened. And then he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Howard, I know enough about you, but there's two birds in your life. This is, I mean, he doesn't really know me. He heard me present. I presented, you know, for an hour first day. And then he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, yes, you know, I know about the phoenix and I now know about the dove. He goes, I want you to actually allow the blue jay into your life. And that's all he said. And then I went and researched what the blue jay means, you know, and how to apply it to me. I thought it was fascinating. So wow. I had a reading and a water ceremony for the first time on this cruise ship. It was fascinating. So you know, it just shows you we're always learning. And it was very cool. So again, my only real exposure to this. You've lived this, which is very, very different.
And I had to tell you, I was actually a guest on a podcast earlier this week. And it was My Accent Is No Accident with Maritza Perez. And she's a psychic medium. I don't know if she tells anybody this, but we were talking about the Lakota people and my work with them. And suddenly a spirit came in through her. It was a Lakota spirit and asked her to ask me, tell us more about the Lakota people. Who are they? Where they're from? So I got to give this whole history of who the Lakota people were. But it was very amazing, you know, just to know that these spirits of the Native people are with me, guiding me on this mission to bring art therapy, trauma treatment trainings, and putting mental health into their tribal schools. So they're
So I will tell you this, that so because I am such a patient expert and advocate in the cancer world, I actually call for screening. Okay. And it's March is colorectal cancer awareness month, but every cancer has a month and a color, and ours is blue. And so, but I do, I say, go get screened at age 45. That's the age now, unless you have family history or you have symptoms or you're part of a minority community. If you are black or brown skinned, or if you are indigenous or Latino, those are the highest diagnosed because they're the least tested because of their access or their trust of the healthcare system. So I do that always. So it's just a little bit of relation there, not what you're doing, but I just want to say that I felt compelled to share that because the healthcare, if you're not at your optimal health, you can't lift yourself up or lift up others, which is my motto and all that. Let's continue on. So the reservation experience is absolutely cool. And then you actually started to take over the practice from Linda, right? Or she wanted you to carry the torch forward.
Yes. Yeah, so Linda was actually, we were colleagues. She's co-author of the Startup Art Therapy curriculum, and she was still active in the field when we were kind of, you know, tag teaming. And, but as she, after the California wildfires, her house burned down. So she's just like, I'm retiring. Here you go, in 2017. So anybody that wants training in neurodevelopmental art therapy, this is for teachers, schools, therapists, coaches, they come to me. Yeah. And we'll give you the contact info at the end. But
can you explain what neurodevelopmental art therapy is for the audience?
Great question. Neurodevelopmental art therapy is a whole brain healing approach. And so it's bottom up. So it is corresponding with the four functioning structures of the brain going from the bottom up. And the top functioning structure is the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for decision-making, planning, compassion, empathy, wisdom, and understanding right from wrong. So it's the most important part of the brain to have daily function. So we actually developed a whole curriculum based on neurodevelopmental art therapy. So there's the acute chronic or the acute trauma model, and then there's the chronic trauma treatment model. So the curriculum, startup curriculum, is based on the four-stage chronic trauma treatment model. So it's rewiring, it's specific art therapy activities that rewire the brain from the bottom up, but also left-right integration. And then when people have that thinking brain online, then they can do top-down thinking where it's more cognitive driven instead of impulsive.
I think it's fascinating. For those of you just listening, that Carrie just held up a copy of her book. We're going to put it in the show notes and on all over social media. You'll be able to find it. And You also, though, one of the things that you're a specialist in happens to be adolescents and youth, and then also the indigenous as well. And so you're working with young people and children. What's the age range that you work with?
Actually, I work with adults too. So
well, I know that, but you also you have a specialty with children too, right?
Yeah, children of all ages. It could be pre-K. We work with more sensory art and all the way to adolescence. And then I've had 85, 90 year old clients as well.
Okay, because I have to say, the big give back for you is how you help people now is that you had such a rough childhood, and now you're focused on folks to be able to help them through that trauma and move them forward. And that's the shining brightly light that I see is you lifted up yourself and now you're lifting up others. And and you've specialized in neurodevelopmental art therapy, which is I've learned a lot about it since meeting you. So thank you. You've made me an educated guy as well. All that. So.
Yeah. And, putting mental health into the classrooms has been really my passion, especially for Native children as a prevention and early intervention. But also, this is an issue that exists in our own backyards. And I can't tell you how hard it was to get funding when I was a nonprofit for Native American causes. And now it's great because it's coming out more in the forefront that, we need to help our Native brothers and sisters. And, we had the XL Pipeline and the Standing Rock protests, and now the Killers of the Flower Moon and Lily Gladstone from the Osage tribe just got nominated for so many awards. And, it's just like a huge celebration and huge win and victory. So I will hope that people kind of feel compelled to also get involved, how they can help the Native cause. So yeah, I'm putting mental health in the classroom, but to give back to them and also to pay homage to myself as a child and all the children that fall through the cracks because they suffer silently with trauma. And then they grow up into adolescence and adults and become incarcerated, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, mental illness, and mystery illnesses, because some of the things that can happen too when there's been a history of childhood trauma is that there can be a trauma spin out where there's that limbic system part of the brain firing these SOS signals constantly that causes inflammation in the brain and actually can cause physical disease like mystery illnesses, chronic fatigue syndrome, multiple chemical sensitivity, fibromyalgia, all these things that doctors don't know how to treat. And so that can be another trauma when people are on that roadshow of going from doctor to doctor to doctor. So this is, I'm wanting to take this program out, not just for Natives, but to all cultures eventually.
Oh, I think this applies to everyone coming out of the pandemic, where the number one thing was loneliness that led to depression as we were restricted here, at least in the U.S., right? I think it applies to a lot of us. So certainly tell me a little bit more about the book, because you're a multiple, author and all that. But tell me more about the vision of startup and what you changed in it and things like that, because it's doing well and it's really an important piece of curriculum.
Oh, well, thank you. So, this is to be putting into classrooms, to behavioral health, to juvenile justice systems. We actually have a pilot program in a JDC, Juvenile Detention Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota right now, that's going very well, and in the state penitentiary with adults. So getting, this out into the world and putting it into the classroom curriculum in all schools as a standard, it's the foundational building block to building the nervous system, to building the emotional, perceptual, the cognition and creativity and joy, and, optimizing the brain to be able to learn academics. So it really should be in every classroom so children can actually learn English and math and science. So this is, you know, what my vision is for this book, for this curriculum. And we're actually creating a new program right now for adults and rewiring their own brains from trauma, and a new online course.
You got so, a lot going on. So it's shout out to teachers and school admins to give this a check out. So we'll highlight them, and we'll hashtag some of the educational folks that they can be made aware. Maybe they don't even know they're aware of it and all that. This is fascinating. We could talk a lot longer, but the show is short. So I want you to put on your sunglasses. This is the Shining Brightly spotlight that we end the show with. I want you to tell people, oh, those are the very cool glasses, very artsy. I love them. Way to go, Carrie. Tell people how best to get a hold of you. You have something that you might want to offer. And then we're going to end the show with inspirational either story or quote from you. And then you'll kick it back over to me.
Yeah, thank you, Howard. So the way to get a hold of me is you can directly email me at Carrie, C-A-R-E-Y, at startuparttherapy.com. Carrie@startupartherapy.com. You can go to the website, startupartherapy.com, and you can actually just pick up the phone and call me the old-fashioned way if you want, 415-947-9608, and that is the way to be able to get me for training. And I want to give you guys today a bilateral scribble art therapy technique called Scribble Your Way to Calm, and you'll be able to access that through Howard's links. And to end with a quote, freedom is what we do with what has been done to us, and that is by Jean-Paul Sartre.
Will you repeat that, please?
Freedom is what we do with what has been done to us. And we can take that a step further. Freedom is what we do with what has been done for us, meaning that we have, you know, kind of chosen our earth walk before we come into these human bodies. And some people believe, and how can we transform that victimhood, that things have been done to us? How can we see it as something that's been a teaching to help propel us forward in life? So my motto, heal the people, heal the planet.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, this has been incredible. I'm going to, in the show notes and on all the social posts, get in touch with you. We only scratched the surface of neurodevelopmental art therapy, of course, in a 30-minute show. This has been incredible, Kara. I want to thank you. You shine brightly and helping people, recover from trauma. And that is actually very noble, and it's a beautiful thing that you do. So thank you. You can get a hold of me, Howard Brown, on shiningbrightly.com. There you can check out the book. I have other books in my Amazon account as well, but also my speaking. You want me to speak at one of your events, I'll make it shine. So come talk to me about that as well. And this podcast is just, it's touching people. We go from human resolve, as we heard today from Carrie, to inspiration always. And my advocacy for the cancer world, the entrepreneurship world, the interfaith world, all can be found there. So please reach out to me. And I just want to give a shout out and thank you to the people that help me most, which are my publisher, Front Edge Publishing, readthespirit.com magazine out every Monday, and my podcast house, which is based out of British Columbia. And they are amazing. And they just help make me look great and shine as well. So with that, choose, okay, to shine brightly a little bit each day for yourself, for others, lift them up, for our communities and neighborhoods, and yes, the world will become a better place. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, Carrie. Great show.
Thank you so much, Howard.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.